Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
We open up your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're going to start. We're starting a new series. How many of you, over the last 5 weeks, before last week, we went through this series, 4 weeks, we went through Walking with Jesus. How many were ministered to by that series? Amen. I pray that it was a good ministry for you. And then last week, Apostle Robert was here. And what's great about this week is that Easter, y'all gave me like 25 minutes to preach. Then I was gone a whole week. So I'm locked, loaded, ready to roll. So y'all just get buckled up because I'm going to be all over the place, scrambling, running around, and it's going to be good because we're starting a new series called Access. Somebody say Access. You have access. We're learning to approach God and receive power. So we have learned through our last series that God walks with us in our weakness, in our struggles. He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. But now we're going to shift some things, and we're going to realize that we don't have to stay in our weakness, and this is the way to receive power. It's more than just seeing that Jesus has power. It's actually now we're going to go to the place where we receive power. And this is going to go on for a few weeks. I'm not exactly sure how long. But we're just going to jump into this series called Access. I'm going to talk to you about learning how to approach God. Now, what was interesting when I started studying this series, this was not planned. I wasn't going from walking with Jesus to Access. I planned on going walking with Jesus to disciplines. And then I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm just walking with Jesus and then I'm getting on to everybody, okay? But I'm going to give you some tools and I'll come back to you later and tell you the disciplines you need to have. But right now, what was interesting when I was studying this out, the scripture came to mind that, you know, we approach the throne of grace boldly, right? That's how and so I flipped over to that text and then I began to read the whole chapter and then suddenly it popped off the page at me and I was reminded, oh wait, that's the last half of the text that we were reading in Walking with Jesus, where we read the idea that we don't serve a high priest that cannot sympathize with us in our weaknesses. But it goes on to say, so we'll read this whole text real quickly for you today. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. If you don't have it, we'll be on the screen. It says this, seeing then that we have a great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here we go, pivot point. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. Realize it just talked about your weakness, your temptation, and these things, and how Jesus sympathizes with you within inside of it. But then it gives this incredible response to it. Let us therefore come boldly. Somebody say boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain, or we can say this, access. Somebody say access. That we may obtain or have access to mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, let your word be like a ready and skillful writer on my lips today. Lord, let those that are hear it today, let them have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, let them hear for themselves. Let the word convict. Let it bring change. Let it bring illumination. Let it bring strength. And let it bring life and vitality to us today as we receive of the word, of the living word, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen, amen. I love this text as I begin to read it more because I want you to maybe write this down. It won't be on the screen. But the beautiful thing about this is scripture is telling us your weakness is no longer a barrier to get to Jesus. The weakness that you may feel, the weaknesses that you maybe went through is no longer a barrier and it's no longer blocking you from actually going to Jesus. This is what religion says. Religion and the law says, clean yourself up, then come. This is what Jesus says. Because of Jesus, come even in the midst of your weakness. Come even in the midst of when you're bleeding. Come even in the midst of whenever you're struggling. Come to me whenever you're tired. Come to me when you're weary. Come to me when you're sad. Come to me when you're joyful. Come to me when you're mourning. Come to me, but don't just show up. Show up boldly. And I fear that some of us are afraid to approach Jesus when we're broken, so we put distance between us and Jesus, and we go more into our brokenness than we do to the one that is the great physician and the healer. And it's all because we have this pride that we build up within ourselves and we have this self-preservation that says, no, I don't want to get close to something that's perfect. I'd rather be around some more things that are dirty. And Scripture tells us here, Jesus sympathizes with you within your weaknesses, but doesn't leave you there. He says, but now approach boldly the throne of grace. If that means you got to drag yourself, this may look like boldness to you in the midst of your hurt. You may be walking like this, but I'm still boldly going to Jesus to obtain mercy, to obtain grace, because he is the one that has it. I don't. Hear me today. I want you to get rid of some stinking thinking that you think you got to have everything together before you can go to Jesus. Jesus is the one who will get all your crap together, not you. If you think you can get your crap together, you got it all wrong, buddy. Huh? Jesus is the only one who can correct you, fasten you. Scripture gives us this depiction of it where it says, you are the potter, I am the clay. That's a molding, a shaping, meaning sometimes you are all out of whack. You're supposed to be made into this beautiful vase and you got a point sticking out like this. You know what you need? You need Jesus. Yeah. Let him come mold and shape you and approach boldly the throne of grace. Now Jesus makes a way here so weakness no longer leads to shame, but now becomes the doorway that we encounter grace. So hear me today. There's a vehicle, I believe, that gets us there, and I believe part of that vehicle is prayer, communication with the Lord. Prayer isn't just how you get strength, it is how you step into the presence where strength, mercy, and grace are already waiting for you. When you pray to the Lord, whenever you go to him in prayer, listen, that is where you will find grace. That is where you will find mercy. That is where you will find strength. But I believe, hear me today, and we're going to get into this a little bit this morning. We're going to start going through how Jesus taught us to pray. And one of the things that we miss often, and the reason we don't obtain grace and mercy and power and strength, I believe, is due to the fact that we misidentify God, or we identify our problem as God, and we don't identify him first, we identify our issue first. And if we identify our issue before we identify our Lord and Savior, what is taking the kingship in that moment? What's taking the kingship is our problem, our struggle, the sin, the sickness, the ailment, the brokenness. So whenever we first bring, understand why I say this, when we first acknowledge that in prayer and not just that we need the Father in prayer, is where we miss receiving grace and mercy. So hear me, I'll give you an analogy here about going to the throne of grace. When someone is injured badly, they don't sit at home and just say, let me fix myself up before I go to the hospital, right? Y'all know that not too recently, but a little while back, my son broke his arm, and he came inside and said, oh, Dad, no crying, which is weird, because yesterday he dropped a ring pop on the ground and cried for like 30 minutes, breaks his arm, and he's like, goes to his room, winces a little bit, and like, bro, what's going on? He's like, I think I need to go to the doctor. I was like, okay, we're going to the doctor then, because I know how you are, you're tough. So he breaks his arm. We didn't go, you know what, let's go try to fix this in the bedroom and see if we can like move it around and get it back in place and splint it up ourselves and run the x-rays at home. No, we have to go where? To the place that actually has what I am in need of. You do the same thing whenever you're hurt, whenever your family member's hurt, whenever there's a sickness that you can't fix at home, what's the first thing you do? You're going to contact a physician. You're going to a doctor, many of you. And hear me, that's because you trust that what is inside of the room or behind the doors can handle what's wrong with them or wrong with you. Now, we said amen to that. Now, I want you to think about it spiritually. Do you trust that the Lord, that who's behind the doors of your life, can deal with what you're dealing with, can fix the brokenness in your life? Do you really believe that? Or do you like to say it like pixie dust so somebody believes that you're better? Or gives you some sort of false confidence, or gives you some sort of a placebo effect? Or do you believe that he is who he says he is? He is the great I am. He is the great physician. And I trust that whatever I'm facing, the man who is behind the doors has the power, the mercy, and the grace that I need for me to receive the healing that I'm in need of. Hebrews says, come boldly, not cleaned up, not figured out, boldly, because the throne you're approaching, hear me today, is not the emergency room that might reject you. The Lord does not reject his children. The Lord does not reject his children. You need to hear that today. The Lord does not reject his children. It is the throne of grace that has already made a room for you. It's already made place for you to be there. Now, will you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 9? If you don't have your Bible, you don't want to turn there this morning, we will have it on the screen for you. We're going to encounter this moment now where Jesus, because this is, we now know that we can approach boldly. I don't want to preach too long on that. We know that we have access. When you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have access. The righteous are as bold as a lion, is what Scripture says. You have access. I'll give it to you like this. My dad, who was obviously he was here last week, he was ministering. But if I go to Panama City and I go to his house, I have access that not everybody else has. Meaning that I know the family entrance. And so whenever I go in the family entrance, there's a fridge. And I know it's stocked with all different kind of stuff that I like. And I know that whenever I walk in, I can go without asking whether I'm in shorts or I'm in a suit. Somebody need to hear that today? Huh? Whether I got tattoos or I don't got tattoos. My hair will never be pink, but if my hair, whether my hair is pink or is blonde, no matter my appearance, I know that I have, I can, my dad is not going to go, nope, mm-mm. No, you aren't wearing the right clothes today. No, I can walk in there with just nothing but a t-shirt. No, he would tell me, go put some clothes on. That song came in my head, sorry. I walk in there with after going to the pool, just swim trunks, I could be dripping wet. I could still, thanks. Thank you. Because there's a level of access I have as son that not everybody else has. This is the beauty of our Father. I'm ahead of myself. Is that he has given each one of us access, but all of our access looks different. Okay? Hear me. And the reason I can say that with a surety of heart is this. I have a brother. My brother has the same access. He does. But the things that he might pull out of the fridge might be different than the things that I pull out of the fridge. Same place, different need. Huh? Same father, different relationship. There are things that my dad will call my brother about that he won't call me about, and there's things that he'll call me about that he won't call my brother. And there's things that I will need to call my dad about that my brother will not need to call, and vice versa. Why? Because he has a different, this is good, y'all. He has a different relationship which reveals the intimacy of the Father, not just the everybody gets the same of the Father. He has an intimate relationship with his children. If you will draw near to him, you'll understand it even better. Listen, I believe that there's things that the Lord, that I can speak to the Lord about. I believe there's things that the Lord can speak to me about that he doesn't always speak to everyone else about the exact same things. You know why? Because I go through some stuff that you don't go through. And you go through some stuff that I don't go through. So I need an intimate relationship with the Lord. I can't live, listen, hear me. This is why you can't live through the relationship of your pastor. This is why you can't live vicariously through the relationship of your father or your mother, teenagers. This is why you need your own personal devotion and relationship with Jesus, because Jesus desires communication with you and to speak with you and for you to speak with him so that he can tell you the things that you need to hear, not just hearing it through the voice or the lens of someone else. You need a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Somebody say amen this morning. I haven't even gotten to my main text yet. Okay, here we go. Matthew 6, 5 through 9. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. In other words, stop telling everybody you're praying all the time. You can go pray and shut up. Okay, let me put it in layman's terms for you. Assuredly, because I had to put it that way, because some of you are like, what's he saying? I'm going to put it for you. Shut up and go pray, okay? And don't tell anybody. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. In other words, for that time, they had repetition prayers that they would pray. The same thing, and lots of big words and all these. And Jesus is saying, listen, you don't have to go through all the repetitions and all these things. That's what the heathen do. For they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. So now, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. And what we're going to start here today is, I want you to hear me today. This is not, you don't have to pray this prayer. This is a formula of prayer. Okay, this is what Jesus is teaching. Because we see that Jesus just said, you don't have to do the vain repetitions over and over again. But this is a formula by which prayer becomes powerful, I believe is what Jesus is arming us with here in this moment. So today what I really want us, and over the next few weeks, we're going to go through the idea of what there's a formula to prayer and how we should pray, things that are biblical to pray, things that are not biblical to pray. And then also we're going to get into, and I'm about to spook some of you out, we're going to get into the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe it's a gift for everybody. Not everybody, listen, just because it's a gift for everybody doesn't mean everybody receives that gift. And I believe, though, that the ability to receive that gift is for everyone. Just some people don't receive it because there's a rejection in their heart. There's a lot of different reasons I don't have time to get into. We'll get into it when we get into that portion of the sermon. But I'm going to break it down for you how I do believe that it is still for today. Scripturally, we can see that it is still for today. Numerous times over, there is time after time reasons why we believe that it is powerful. It can give you strength in your times of need. I can't preach all of it right now, but through the weeks, we'll get to it. So he says this, starting the formula of prayer, if you will. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is Matthew 6, 5, and 9. The end of 9 there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Stop right there. We're not going to go through the whole thing because we'll go through the whole thing in the weeks to come. I believe that we live in a time where everything has become very casual. We've become, even as believers, very casual in our prayers. We are casual in commitments. We're casual in conversations. We're casual in our relationships. And I believe that some of us have let the casual living creep into our casual relationships with the Lord, which creates casual prayers, which is just we treat God like a quick moment or a quick casual thing that we can just encounter for a moment or things like that. We'll treat prayer like a quick check-in, or maybe for some of us, it's your last resort whenever everything and it feels like all hell is broken loose. Well, now it's time to pray. Or maybe you're on the other side where it's like, well, I pray over my lunch and I pray over my dinner. I prayed today, or I prayed right before I went to bed. I prayed today. Or maybe it's just something for some of us, casual prayers have become, we just pray whenever there's something that we need. Lord, I need a new car. Lord, I need that check to come in the mail. Lord, I need that new house. Lord, I need that girlfriend. Lord, I need that boyfriend. Lord, I need that husband. I need that wife. I need, I need, I need. And some of us just take to him our needs or the casual prayers of life. But hear me, you might want to write this down, that Jesus never taught casual prayer. Jesus teaches intentional prayer. Jesus never teaches us to be casual with prayer. Jesus teaches us to be very intentional with the way that we pray. He didn't say just say what you want. Just say whatever you want. Pray whatever you want. He said, in this manner, pray. That's words of intention, right? In this manner. So he's telling us, he's giving us instruction. There's an instruction that he is bringing to us in this area of our life that we need to, that means anytime Jesus says something like, in this manner do, remember and do this, then I think that we should probably incline our ears a little bit and go, okay, this is a time of learning. If Jesus is teaching me something, then I need to learn this. So that means that there is a proper way to approach God. Write this down, that prayer is a moment where we have the access to approach God, and how you approach him is determined by how you see him. Prayer is a moment where we have the access to approach God, and how you approach him is determined by how you see him. I'll give you a for instance. If you see somebody, I'll give you my own for instance, okay? When we were away this week, Pastor Chelsea is very approachable. She just looks bubbly, smiley. She's really stinking pretty. It's ridiculous. And like, people will just walk up to her and start talking. Me, on the other hand, why are you laughing? Put sunglasses and a hat on me, you probably think you're about to be under arrest or something. I'm like, I don't mean to look that way. Y'all know the slang for it. I'm not going to say it in here. But I just have that face at times. But then you start talking to me, and I'm like, I can talk for days. But people will not approach me. As a matter of fact, one day, I'll give you a really funny story. One day, somebody came up to Pastor Chelsea, and she goes, "Are you okay? Do you feel safe?" She's like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I saw the guy you were with. He looks scary." She was like, "Yeah, that's my husband of 14 years. We're good." But I'm not, like, I can be very just, "What up?" But you start talking to me, man, we'll have a great conversation. We'll goof off. We'll be silly together, all that. I say that to say, how you view someone will change the manner in which you approach them. Yeah. And if you see God as an angry, evil man sitting in the heavens waiting to smite you, you are not going to go to him boldly to receive grace. You're going to go to him, please, sir, please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. Don't lightning bolt me, okay? Like, how you see God is going to be how you approach him even in your prayer lives. So before Jesus ever teaches us what to ask for, he teaches us who we're talking to and how to approach him. And if you miss that, you'll pray, but you will not encounter him. If you miss how and who he is, you'll pray, but you will not encounter the real Jesus. So Jesus corrects how we see prayer. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't use vain repetitions. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Jesus confronts two different wrong views of prayer here. The first one is this. He confronts prayer as performance, which I believe many of us in the church do. Okay? Prayer is performance. He says that they may be seen by men, right? So what he's saying is many times, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves praying for the views of others. I always love, I'm going to stab on something just a second. Lord, help me today. I always love when I see people just like posting their hour-long prayer sessions on Instagram. Like, I think scripture says if we're doing it for likes and for clout and shares, it's the wrong heart. That's vain repetition. That is to be seen by men. Hear me today. They're not, and I'll get into this as we get into the series. There is a such thing, and we practice here, as corporate prayer, where you pray together. We see this in the early church. I don't have time to get into it. But there's corporate prayer, and then there's personal devotion prayer. We're talking about in this right now, personal devotion prayer life. And so whenever you are personally praying, it's not to be seen. You're not supposed to, "Hey, Father God, Father God, I thank you, Walt, that you are the king of all." Walt, you see me? That shouldn't be our prayer heart. Our prayer is, "Lord, I just want you to hear me. I want to experience you." That's our heart. And the other thing is this, and I'll tread lightly when I say this, and please understand my heart, but he's addressing prayer as too much of a formula, too much of a repetition, meaning this, the thing that you have to say the same things or even heard for the many words. I've heard people pray before, and I'm like, what are you even saying? I'm pretty sure that was a Chinese proverb, not scripture. You're just literally saying big words because you know big words. But hear me, the people who are praying with you know nothing of what you're saying. Prayer does not have to be for views, for likes, for clout, or just so you can be heard for the many words. Prayer is not performance to impress people. Prayer is not a formula to manipulate God. Prayer is not about saying the right words, sounding spiritual, or just being impressive. God does not want performative prayer. He wants to hear your heart. And this is when Jesus shifts everything with one phrase. He says, when you do this, pray this way. Somebody say, "Our Father." Our Father is always the foundation for prayer. Our Father is always our Father. I'm not saying you got to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." I'm saying whenever you go to pray, it is, "Father God, I thank you." There's thanksgiving in my heart. "Father God, I thank you." There's an acknowledgement. Lord, God, Father, whatever it is, you acknowledge who you're praying to. Right. That is the first thing that we must do, because that is the foundation for prayer. You know, I think about it with my own kids. If one of my kids says, "Dad," my ear perks up immediately. They could be across the house. "Dad," sometimes I ain't gonna lie, it's after I've already put them to bed, tucked them in, prayed, shut the door. As soon as I shut, "Dad," y'all know what I'm talking about? Taking one further, close the door, legs starting to bend to sit on the couch. "Dad," right? Because your ear inclines, and now you're postured to go deal with what the need is. Can I tell you, in that same way, I believe our Father listens to us. Father God, I believe the Lord hears us. He inclines his ear to us, and he listens to the petitions. Prayer doesn't start, though, with your need. It starts with an identity, who you're identifying. Prayer doesn't begin with what you need. It begins with who he is. And another word I want to bring to attention in this is our Father, meaning this, it's not just individual. We're talking about a family of believers, our Father. We're not approaching God as isolated individuals, but rather as sons and daughters of God. So hear me, Father is where everything changes. And I want to preach this to you very pastorally just for a moment, because some of you hear Father and that hurts. Let's be real in the room today. I'm not going to preach something without being sensitive to the Spirit and being sensitive to knowing what there are people in this room who go through, what you've gone through. And some of us, we are Father and we don't think safe. We think guarded. We put up a guard. As soon as I say our Father, some of us go, not based off what I experienced. I don't want to pray to my Father because I've had a tough time. I was abandoned. I was abused by my Father. Hear me. I'm going to give you good news today. This is the gospel. This is the good news. God is not the reflection of your earthly father. And that's some good news for us today. Listen, I love my three boys, but I'm thankful that they have a better reflection of the Father than even me. I'm thankful that I'm not, understand why I say this, because I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Guess what? Sometimes I raise my voice. It happens. Sometimes I do that and I have to go back and apologize. Sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say because I'm not perfect. But the good news is, my children know a Father who is perfect, and they can talk to him. They can speak to him. And so whenever we get that revelation, it really changes how we approach him. Scripture says this in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from what? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So hear me today. Your Father God, he's not the addict. He's not the abuser. He is not the one that only gives when you perform. He is not the abandoner. He is not the withholder. He is not the one who shows favoritism. He is not the one that disowns you. He is the good, loving Father. God is not a broken version of a father. He is the definition of what a father is, meaning this: Father God is consistent, present, good, faithful, unchanging, loving, ever abounding in mercy, giver, and he is the good Father. So write this down. God doesn't tolerate you. He calls you his. That is good news for you today, that he's not just tolerating you being around. He's not just tolerating you speaking to him. He's not just tolerating your moments. He's not just tolerating your frustrations. He's not just tolerating your issues. He calls you his with great joy within his heart. He calls you his. And you may want to write this down behind it. Write this down. If you don't see him as a good father, you will never approach him as an accepted child. If you don't see God as a good father, you will never approach him in the accepted child that you are called. You are accepted into the beloved, is what Scripture says. But if you never see him as good God, then you'll never approach him as someone who actually accepts you, who actually loves you, who actually cares for you. We read the scripture earlier, but seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, we go on to see. He's tempted, all these things. But now we can approach boldly the throne of grace. You will never approach him boldly if you don't believe he's a good father. And that's something that we all have to come into this revelation of. And I believe that before many of you go back into that time of prayer whenever you need to leave here, because this needs to be, prayer is a discipline. Prayer. How many of you be honest and just say, man, some of y'all need to close your eyes because you might judge somebody. But how many just say, Pastor, sometimes it's difficult to pray. Your pastor will raise his hand. It is. Life is going at 9,000 miles per hour. And sometimes you're like, where do I have time to pray? You know what the beautiful thing about prayer is? You can do it anywhere. Anytime, any place. Anywhere that you can have a conversation with somebody is a place that you can pray at. And the cool thing is this. You can literally have a conversation with anyone about anywhere. I'll be in the shower. My wife will be brushing her teeth or something. And we'll be having a full-blown conversation about our day. Listen, sometimes you need to go pray in the shower. If that's the time you got, pray. But this needs to be a discipline and a daily practice for you as a believer to communicate with the Father daily. But first of all, once again, let's come back to this idea that we have to first see God correctly. We have to see him as a good father. Because if we don't see him as a good father, we'll never approach the throne of grace because we're afraid of judgment. But see, the throne that he is seated on in the midst of our brokenness, insecurities, is not the throne of judgment. It's the throne of grace. It's the throne of mercy. He's extending that to us in this moment. And I believe that we can approach boldly his throne. Now let's keep going. So Jesus doesn't stop at our Father. He immediately adds, hallowed be your name. So in heaven, hallowed be your name. In heaven means overall. Okay, let's start with that as we're breaking this text down. So we're acknowledging that he is Father over all in heaven. Hallowed be your name. He is over everything. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that is in his perfect time. He will exalt us, give us strength, will obtain mercy in his perfect timing. Hear me, when you believe you can do everything yourselves, you cut off heavenly intervention and assistance. So it is important that we recognize that he is over all and we are under him, and that he reigns in every affair of man, that he wins over everything else, that there is none higher than his name. Hallowed means this. It means holy, set apart, or not common. Hallowed means holy, set apart, or not common. So we're saying our Father over all who is holy. This is how we're recognizing him. We're still just recognizing him right now, the identity, who he is. I'm not saying you have to declare this every time. I'm saying this is a heart posture you should have in prayer of our Father, you're over everything and you are holy, meaning there's no one like you in heaven or on earth. There's none beside you. None can compare to your greatness, to your strength, to your mercy, nothing. But here's the thing. We can't just say his name is holy. We have to treat it like it's holy. I'm going to say that again for the three people who amen, thank you. But I'm going to say for the other people today, we can't just say the name of the Lord is holy if we don't treat it like it's holy. Okay? Some of us want the holy benefits without having a holy relationship. We treat God like our side chick. I want to be married to the world, but God, I got your number. I know when the hotline bling. Okay, so I can stop. I'm on it today. We'll often just stay fully in the, once again, this comes from not recognizing who he is as Father, so we'd rather stay in our filth than we would receive boldly grace and mercy. So we'll hold on to these things, go back to these things, be drawn back to these things because shame starts happening and all these things. And so then we stop picking up and praying, and instead we just go back to this. But whenever things get bad enough, all of a sudden, Lord, I need you. Please come over. Right? Y'all laughing, but you know what I'm talking about today. Because we want the Jesus who saves us, not the Jesus who sanctifies us. I'm going to throw this mug in this glass, so hold on. We want the Jesus who comes and pulls us out of everything. Not the one that says, stop. That's dumb. Don't do that. Allow me to mold you and shape you. Here's some mercy and some grace. Now quit. Huh? You want to know what mercy and grace looks like? Mercy and grace does not look like, hey, just keep on, it's okay. What mercy and grace looks like is whenever Jesus gets down in the dirt with the woman caught in adultery and says, hey, go and sin no more. He guards you, yes, from those who want to stone you, but then he gives you this charge. Mercy is, hey, don't stone her. Grace is, go and sin no more. So we obtain mercy and grace, meaning that, yes, the Lord sees us in our weakness and we can approach boldly, but then he gives us from the place of mercy, he gives us the strength and the grace to go and do what is right. And if we walk in there and we want mercy but no grace, listen, you're going to miss it because you're going to walk out still like this. I'm going to say it again because you ain't getting it. You can walk in and want mercy, and that's great, but only thing you want is sympathy. You don't want the strength. You don't want to do anything different. You just want, pour on me. Pour on me. I'm hurt. I need this mercy. I need to be seen. I need to be validated in my. So Lord, give me some mercy. And the Lord's like, here you go. Now quit. Forgive. Quit. Put the addiction down. Quit. Stop calling that number. Quit. Stop doing those things, huh? This is what mercy and grace looks like. So let's go back to holiness because I went back for a moment. So when we make the declaration, hallowed or holy, when we recognize that, we're saying that he reigns over the affairs of men. Yes, holy. So we don't just say his name, that's where I was going. We treat it like it's holy. And this is where a lot of us miss it. We'll say God is first, but we don't live like he's first. In the words of a wise man, if you ain't first, you're last. Some of you got it. Shake and bake, baby. Listen, if God's not first, where is he? Where do you got him? Because the truth is this, if he's not first, he is last in your life. Because there should be no other gods above him, no other things above him. So therefore, if he's not in the rightful place, that means you've just put him at the bottom of the totem pole. I don't care if you show up to church every Sunday. If you don't have a relationship with him first, you're putting him down here. It's great. Listen, I have seen people that can go around, I love the Lord. Huh? Yeah, I do. I'm going home, bye. Janae's preaching. No. I love the Lord. I lift my hands to worship you. And then walk out and was like, that was fun. Little praise party. We got budget Brandon Lake. Budget elevation in here. That was awesome. Love it. Timu elevation. I gotta keep going. Well, man, we act like he's first. Put on a good show. But then our life preaches something completely different. And it comes from not recognizing who he is. He's holy. And this is where we gotta be honest. A lot of us say God is first, but something actually is sitting on the throne. And it's not always obvious, right? Because sometimes it's your career. Let me step on your toes right now. Sometimes it's your job. That's become number one. You have all the communications with your boss, but you haven't prayed in 3 weeks. Well, sometimes it's your identity. Sometimes your identity becomes Lord. Meaning this, that if I have everything in place, everything looks right, I look good, yeah, I'm good. And that becomes our Lord. So we'll invest all the time. And sometimes it's you. Your flesh is you. and you put your flesh on the throne of your heart rather than God where he is supposed to be at. So, think about this. Whatever you go to first reveals what is first. Okay? Whatever you go to first in the midst of trials, troubles, tribulations, it's revealing what is first in your life. Whatever you go to first, whenever things seem to be difficult, is revealing to our hearts, this is what's really important. Life's changing. So hear me. If everything is important, nothing is holy. Think about that. If everything in your life is important, and at the same level, I wish I had a little graph I could show it to you. But if you're making a priority list of your life, anybody work with a task list? Okay. If not, you should. It's life-changing. I work with a task list, and I put everything on certain days. Because if I don't, nothing's getting done. And in that list, I can prioritize, put an order in which I would like to get those jobs accomplished. And if I go and I put everything at one, well, now nothing is one. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all just even. It's all important. It's all holding the same equal importance. And I believe some of us in our life, we do this where we put our problems, our work, family, struggles, the bills, everything goes to an equal one all the way across the board, and the Lord's up there with it. And really, the way it should look, put the Lord right there in the middle, smack dab, over top. He is holy, so he is number one within our lives, and all the other things, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, is what Scripture says. So if everything's important, then nothing is holy. So to hallow his name means, listen, nothing compares to him. Nothing competes with him. Nothing sits above him. And here even further, nothing can be like him. No one can be like him. No one should be viewed just like him. Exodus 20 and 3, you shall have no other gods before me. That doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't just mean don't worship other gods. It means don't let anything take his place or even make image or statue like they are in his place. I'm going to say it again because some of you didn't hear me. It does not mean just don't worship other gods. It means don't let anything or anyone take his place or even make an image or a statue or anything like that. We see this in the Old Testament even. But nothing should look like they are taking the place of the holy God. And anytime we start allowing anything or anyone in our life to begin to take the place of the only holy God, we are missing it as the church. And we will not lead people to salvation. We'll lead people to a person. We'll lead people to a place. We'll lead people to this, and we'll lead people to division, but we will not lead people to the holiness, unity that God has for us as the church. Are you with me? So, you don't get intimacy with God and allegiance to something or someone else at the same time. So whatever sits highest in your life will shape how you pray. Whatever sits the highest in your life will shape how you pray. We're going to come to a close, I promise. So this isn't just about statues or idols. This is about what you trust. That reveals what's number one. What you run to reveals what's number one. What you prioritize in your life. What you build your life around reveals what is number one in your life. And anything you put on his level, you've already lowered him in your life. Anything you put on the same level of God means you're lowering the Lord within your life. And I'm going to give you a few reasons why I believe some of us struggle with prayer, and then we'll come to a close. Some of you, it's not that you need, it's not that you don't know how to pray. Some of you have been taught how to pray, but it's that something is off in how you see him when you pray. You might know the words, but you're not seeing him properly. And you're wondering why you come out of the prayer closet, when you come out of your secret place, why you still feel so burdened, so laden, all these things. And I believe some of it's because we're not viewing the Father correctly, as we've said. So if you see him distant, you won't come close. If you see him as a harsh father, you'll hold back. If you see him as an optional father, you'll neglect him. And this is part of the reasons why we struggle to go to him with our prayer. But when you see him right, you will approach him right. Before Jesus ever says, this is so good. Because later on in this text, we see, give us this day our daily bread, right? We see later talks about forgiveness in the passage, teaching us other methods and ways to pray and things that we should pray. But before he addresses, give us this day our daily bread. Before he addresses, forgive us our trespasses. Before he addresses anything else, there's two main things that Jesus addresses. And he says this, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's addressing the fact that we are called. We have to see God correctly before we experience him in prayer. Before provision, before forgiveness, before deliverance, there's relationship, there's reverence, and there's alignment with the Father. So prayer starts with the Father, and it starts with his name being holy in your life. Pastor Don, if you'll come. I'm going to say this real quickly. I'm going to have you stand here in just a second. I believe that the tone of your prayer will affect the encounter that you have with him. Meaning this, that, you know, some of us, we pray very fervently, right? You might pray with fervency, with zeal. I mean, you go and you pray, you're in the heavens. Some of us are softer spoken. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of tone. I'm talking about whenever our tone is too focused on what we're praying and our fleshly desires. I'm talking about when we focus in our tone too heavily on the problem or the issue and not enough on the one who can fix and heal and deliver and save, restore. When we focus on those things too much, our tone becomes focused purely on that first. But if our tone and our focus is turned towards the Father and the prayers, our Father, hear me, all these things, all these other things, the healing that you are praying for comes as the result of encountering our Father. The deliverance that you're praying for comes as a result of encountering our Father. The restoration that you've been believing and declaring over your life comes as the result of encountering our Father. So some of us don't need to learn new prayers. We just need to reorder our hearts in alignment with the Lord so that we can receive mercy and grace from our Father who is holy. Hear me, if I go in prayer every time and I'm just wanting what I want, but I'm not wanting to recognize him as who he is, I will miss the opportunity to encounter the one who can bring forth the healing that I'm in need of. So it's got to start in the place of our Father, hallowed be thy name. Lord, I need you right now. It's got to start with an identity, focusing in. Listen, once again, I'm going to say this again because I'm going to stand. Say this again. I am not saying when you go pray later, all right, Pastor Mike said, our Father who art in heaven. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying let this revelation, when it's here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you get the revelation of the identity that he's not the harsh father, he's not the hateful father. He's not the abandoning father. He's not the broken father. He's not the abusing father. He's not the father that left you. He's not the father that slapped you. He's not the father that molested you. He's not the father that pushed you out of the house too young. He's not the father that went off and did his own thing and left everybody else. He is the good father. When you get the revelation of that in here, it begins to come out of here. You go, our Father. Father, I thank you. Right now, I got this area and I need you. I need your grace and your mercy because I can't do this anymore on my own, by myself. But let me just say this too. Talk to him daily, not just in your need. Daily. It's daily conversation. It's an ongoing relationship daily with the Father. I believe we're supposed to have because he's already granted us access to the throne room. You've already have access. So hear me, you don't have to go knock. Lisa, You know, not anybody home? He's already there. You approach boldly the throne of grace. Boldly means this. Y'all know I love movie references. Everybody's seen, if you've seen Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, when Aragorn walks through the double doors, majestically walking through, I think he's got wet hair, and he's just like, that's that. Like, when I go to pray, I'm walking like Aragorn right now. I'm ready to go to battle. I'm double doors, ain't nothing gonna stop me. The Lord sees me, He knows my name, and now I'm gonna go to Him in prayer. This is the boldness that you can have whenever you walk. It's not just Pastor Micah boldness. It's not just Pastor Andy and Pastor Francis and Pastor Donna's boldness. You have a boldness that the Lord's given to you because He's called you His, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you can stand up and you can walk to the throne room and receive grace. Will you stand with me today? Lift your hands to the Lord. I'm going to pray over you today. I want to pray this morning. Will you just lift your hands if you will? Father, I thank You for Your people. I pray a blessing over their life. We declare, Lord, that the word has come forth in power and might. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy even in this room. I thank You that we have access. We have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the good Father. Lord, I thank You right now for anyone in this room that maybe has struggled with their view of who You are. I thank You there's a fresh revelation of Your goodness, Your love, Your mercy, Your strength, Your power, Your goodness and Your severity. But Lord, we want today to realize that You're a good Father. You don't reject us. You don't neglect us. You don't push us away. No, even as we draw near to You, You draw near to us is what Your word says. So Father, we thank You right now. There's an understanding and a revelation of that. You're giving us a new boldness to pray, a new boldness to come to You with our weakness, a new boldness to come to You with our strengths, and a new boldness to come to You asking for Your correction, Your wisdom, whatever it is. I thank You, Lord, there's a boldness in our lives to pray and acknowledge, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your name is holy above all. So Father, we thank You for the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. And we thank You for what You've done, You're doing, and You're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise, church. Amen, amen.